Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Chapter entitled The Prayers of Queen Kunti, text number 39. Neyam shopishyate tatra.
Neyam shopishyate tatra.
Yate danim gadadara.
Yate danim gadadara.
Twatpadair ankita bhati.
Twatpadair ankita bhati.
Swalakshana vilakshitai.
Swalakshana vilakshitai.
Neyam. Na,
no.
Not.
No.
Iyam,
Iyam,
this land of our kingdom.
This land of
our kingdom. Shobishyate,
Shobishyate,
will appear beautiful.
Tatra,
Tatra, then.
Yeah.
Yata,
Yata,
as it is now.
As it is now.
Idanim,
Idanim,
how.
How.
Gadadara,
Gadadara.
O Krishna,
Krishna.
Twat,
your
Padai,
by the feet,
Ankita,
Mat,
Pati,
is dazzling,
Swalakshana,
your own marks,
Vilakshitai,
by the impressions.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Gadadara, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Translation responsibly. O Gadadara,
O Gadadara,
Krishna,
Krishna,
our kingdom is now being marked
by the impressions of your lotus feet,
and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, and an instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc., are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. Omagyan Timalandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, it is sometimes asked by devotees, where is Krishna now? Because Krishna says, whenever there is a decline in religious principles, I appear again and again. So sometimes devotees say, well, there is a decline in religious principles at this point in time, so where is Krishna? Why is he not here right now? Why doesn't he reappear to rectify the situation and to re-establish religious principles? So we should understand that Krishna is present at this point in time. Where is Krishna present? In his holy name? Where else is he present? In the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yep. Where else? In the Archavigraha? In the deity form? Where else is he present? In the house of the devotees? In the hearts of the devotees? Yep. Very good. He's in the hearts of the devotees? Very good. Where else is he? What's that? Yeah, wherever the pure devotees are traveling, he's there. Where else is he?
Everywhere.
Everywhere? Yeah. Okay, so any comments or questions? That just wrecked my whole class. So. Where else is he present? In prasadam? Very good. Yeah, in Krishna Gita, very good. Where else is he? In the holy Dhamma, in this temple. Srila Prabhupada says, in the four walls of the temple, the whole spiritual world is present. So when you come into this temple is such a special place because these deities were personally installed by a pure devotee of Krishna. Radha Vallabha were personally installed by Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne in 1973, down in St Kilda, not far from here, and then they were moved here. And then Gaura Nithai were personally installed by Prabhupada. You can see the footage, you can see the video, in this temple, right at that place, in 1975. And Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, the first time they appeared in public was on the Ratha Yatra procession, in the city, and Prabhupada personally was there in 1974, and Prabhupada danced the whole way in front of Jagannath Balaram Subhadra all the way through Melbourne. So these deities were personally installed by Prabhupada. So wherever there is Gaura Nithai, when you darshan this altar, the first altar, you are in Navadvip Dham. It is none different from Mayapur, because wherever Gaura Nithai are is none different from Mayapur. And then you come to the second altar and you darshan Radha Vallabha. That is none different from Vrindavan. Prabhupada said in Melbourne, when he was at the other temple in St Kilda, he said, this is not Melbourne. It is Vaikuntha. And then he said, it is Vrindavan. So wherever Radha Vallabha are, that is Vrindavan. And Giriraj is also there. Govardhan Hill is also there. So that is Vrindavan, none different. And then you go to the third altar and you darshan Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. That is none different from Dwarka Dham. And also none different from, you could say, Jagannath Puri. So when you go to these holy, when you go to these altars, you're actually darshaning. If you're in the right consciousness, you can be transported to the holy Dhams just by meditating on the deities and where they are situated. Much of the time when we darshan the deities, when we chant the holy name, when we perform bhakti, we're half asleep. So when you're performing devotional service, if you're half asleep, then you're somewhat in the material world and somewhat in the spiritual world. Just like I remember I was in Mayapur a number of years ago and one of Prabhupada's disciples gave a class. And he said, when you go into the kirtan, you should leave it on the field. Because he was from America. So America, they have this saying, leave it on the field. When you go and play gridiron, you know, they go out and they play gridiron, they throw the football, American football. They have the saying, leave it on the field. In other words, give your best. Don't go out there and do 50%. What's the point of going out, playing the game and only doing 50%? Right? Go out, leave it on the field, give everything, 100%. So he was saying, this devotee, one of Prabhupada's disciples, I can't remember what his name was, but he was saying, when you go to kirtan, leave it on the field. Give 100%. What's the point if you come into kirtan and you're just like, you know, playing the cartels and just going, Yeah, and then occasionally you look at the deities, like, just to make sure they're still there. Yeah, this is not particularly inspiring. It's not inspiring for you, and it's not inspiring for others either. Just like you come, some people that come to the temple, it actually says nectar of devotion. It says you should not be like this in front of the deities. Right? It says you shouldn't put your hands on the elbows. It says you should not put on the knees. I'm not 100% sure what that means, like that, because it says don't put on the knees. It says don't put on the ankles, on the feet, don't hold the feet, like that. So you should not, sometimes you'll see during the aarti, some of the Indian people, they're just like looking at the deities. Sometimes during the aarti, people will just say like, just keep going, Krishna. No problem. Like that, it's not appropriate. The mood is not correct. When you go before the deities, then you should be, you should always be in a good mood, actually. Prabhupada said this. Back in 1966, 67, very early days in New York, Garga Muni and Brahmananda, who were two of Prabhupada's very first disciples, early disciples, they had to go to some court case or something during the day. And they came back in the evening, and there was aarti, and Prabhupada was there, because Prabhupada, back in those early days, Prabhupada was there at the evening aarti, and the devotees were there. There was only a few devotees in the movement. And the aarti was going on, and they were in front of the deities, but they were looking very, like, depressed, because they'd been to the court, and some struggle was going on, and they weren't very happy. So after the kirtan, after the aarti, Prabhupada said, do not be unhappy in front of the deities. Do not be unhappy in front of the deities. You don't come in front of Krishna and then look unhappy. Right? Does Krishna ever do that to you? Radha Balaba ever look unhappy for you? Do you ever come in and see them and then they're not looking happy, they're not lifting you up and inspiring you? So why you should come like that in front of them? Why should you come and be all, like depressed or whatever it is like that? No, you should be happy. So Prabhupada says you come before the deities, you should be happy. And Prabhupada says you should dance with their arms in the air. Everyone put their arms in the air. Right? Right. Now how do you feel? Nanda, what's going on? How do you feel? Right? Right? Actually, Janananda Maharaj, was giving one class at the farm, gave the Sunday feast lecture, His Holiness, and he was speaking, and he said he was speaking to one psychologist, and the psychologist was saying that when you put your hands like this, it's not possible to be unhappy. Yeah, try and be unhappy. Right? So if you're feeling depressed, right, just put your hands in the air, right, and chant. Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, like that. You just chant like that. And automatically you will be happy. That's why you see, what is Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya doing? What are they doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They are in ecstasy like that. So, when you put your hands in the air, automatically you will feel blissful. So when you come before the deities, actually you should be dancing like this. Prabhupada said, he said you should put your hands in the air and you should chant and dance like that for their pleasure, like that. One time, we told the story that Prabhupada was in, I think it was west coast of America, Los Angeles or San Francisco or somewhere, and there's a big public program and big hall, and Prabhupada was sitting on the stage, and there was like 300 or 400 people in the hall, and I think 100 or 200 devotees, and the rest were guests, non-devotees. And there was big kirtan going on, one of the devotees leading, big 1970s ISKCON kirtan. Have you heard the tapes? Live in New Dwarka, have you heard that famous tape? Agni Dev, Prabhu, you hear the Sanja Aarti, you should get this tape. When I joined ISKCON, My first service was to work in Crossways, and then Ananya Bhak Prabhu, who was the manager, when Crossways would finish at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, then he would just put this tape on when we were packing everything up, just to get everyone like this. So 1970s, this kind of kirtans, very powerful. So they were having these kind of kirtans, and someone was leading, very ecstatic kirtan. And all the brahmacharis were in the middle doing, you know, their big circle, their dance, like that. And they're all going like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, like that. And then Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He stopped it. It was a public kirtan. It wasn't a in-house kirtan. And there were, you know, guests there, and Prabhupada just stopped everything. He said, stop. And Prabhupada said, not like this. Prabhupada said, like this. And he said, start the kirtan. And then they started again, and the kirtan kept going. So we should come before the deities in this mood of being happy. And so when you are in front of the deities, you are in the spiritual world. You are in Navadvip, you are in Vrindavan, you are in Jagannath Puri or Dwarka. Now each of the dhams has their different mood. What is the mood in Mayapur, in Navadvip? Or Darya. Or Darya means munificence, magnanimity. Means Mahaprabhu gives so much mercy in that particular dham. His mood is just to give mercy, or Darya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes that, it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladeva Jibhushan, they describe Lord Chaitanya's mood is like a drunken king. Just like when the king becomes intoxicated. Right? He takes too much intoxication. So the king becomes intoxicated, and then he goes into the treasury. And he gets all the best jewels in the treasury, and he just goes out onto the street of the kingdom. And he just starts saying to everyone, here, take this. Have this. And all the citizens, what's going on with the king? Right? And he's just intoxicated. Yeah, just take it. And people are saying, they're shocked. And he said, no, just have it. Have it. Like that. He's just giving it. Because he's intoxicated. So the Acharyas explain that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like this. Because they are intoxicated with love of Godhead. They are intoxicated with Krishna prema. They're saying, even to the lowest, most fallen people in Kali Yuga, they're saying, just take it. Just have Krishna prema. Take it. And even we might think, well, I'm not worthy. They say, don't worry, just take it. Just have it. Like that. This is the mood of the deities of Gaur Nityananda. Odarya. Odarya means munificence. Giving unlimited. Actually, it describes as one pastime where one of the acharyas, I'm trying to remember, might have been Rasikananda, or it was one of the acharyas, and he approached the deities, and they were not. They asked, "Who is his guru?" Do you remember who it was particularly? Which acharya? I think it was Rasikananda. It was around about that time. So he said, "Who is the guru?" Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they would not accept him without understanding first who is the guru of this person. So then he was passed back down the disciplic succession until they found his guru. And when they found his guru and said, oh, he is the disciple of this person, then he was passed back up through the disciplic succession, back to Gaur Nityananda. And then Lord Nityananda grabbed him, like very strongly, Lord Nityananda is very powerful, he grabbed him and he put him on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Right, put him on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then when he went on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, suddenly, Radha Krishna manifest. And he saw Vrindavan. It was all manifest in front of him. So this is Gaur Nityananda. They are called Odarya. They're in the mood of munificence. So in Mayapur Dham, all the deities take on this mood of Odarya. So if you go to Mayapur, you'll see Panchatattva. The Panchatattva are in the mood of Odarya. Munificence. Just giving love of Godhead. Because that is their mood. That is their dham. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadha, Srivas, Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. They are in the mood of just giving or dharya or love of Godhead. But then in Mayapur, because they are the presiding deity, because Gauranga is the presiding deity of the Dham, then the other deities take on the mood of the presiding deity. So you see Radha Madhava and the Sakis in Mayapur, they also have this mood of Gauranga. Just take. Or Darya, or Darya. Why that? Just take. So that is the mood of Radha Madhava, even though they are Vrindavan. Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. But in Vrindavan, the mood is different. In Mayapur, then Radha Madhava, they take that mood of just giving. Very munificent, very merciful. So you can get so much in Vrindavan. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you go to Mayapur and you chant Hare Krishna, what would take you many years to get in Vrindavan, you can get in a few days in Mayapur just by chanting Hare Krishna in Mayapur. Because they just do not consider your fallen nature. They do not consider your aparads or your disqualifications. They just say, anyway, just take it. They're intoxicated, so they just take it. So Radha Madhava can give you so much reciprocation. Actually, Mayapur and Vrindavan are not different. There is a description in one of the Puranas how the Mayapur Dham became manifest, how Navadvip became manifest. Because Radha was looking for Krishna in Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani, she was looking for Krishna, and Krishna was with another gopi. Her name was Viraja. So Radharani, she heard that Krishna was with this other gopi, Viraja. So immediately she came to that place to look, and Krishna knew Radharani was coming. So he said to Viraja, he said, you turn into a river. So she turned into a river. And then when she got there, she looked and she saw Krishna. Krishna was by himself, but she knew what was going on. So she was not happy. So she left immediately, and she went to Mayapur, to Navadvip. So Radharani, she knows that she pleases Krishna the most. She knows she is the dearest to Krishna. Radha Balabha, right? She is the dearest to Krishna. She knows that. So when she gets angry that Krishna is with someone else, it's not selfish. Like if we are attached to someone and they're with someone else, then we think, oh, they're with someone else. So that's selfish. We become jealous or angry because it is a material emotion. But Radharani is not in that mood. It is not a material emotion. But rather she is thinking, Krishna should be with me because I can please him the most. So why does he need to be with someone else? He should just come and be with me. So when she goes off to be angry, it's actually because she's trying to attract Krishna to her. So she went off in an angry mood and she went to Navadvip. What does Navadvip mean?
Nine islands.
Dvipa, Nava, Dvipa. What does Nava also mean?
New.
So she went to make a new Dvipa. I'll make a new island. In between the Ganges and the Jamuna, that's an island, between the Ganges and the Jamuna, I'll make a new island. Right? If he's there and he won't come, I will go there, I'll make something better. Or as good, or so beautiful. He will have to come. So Radharani went there with all the gopis. She made Navadvip, a beautiful, beautiful forest. With many kunjas and groves and many, many beautiful places for her to enjoy pastimes. And then she began to play on a flute. And then when Krishna heard the sound of that flute and he knew exactly what Radharani's mood was, he immediately came there. And he was so overwhelmed. He said, what is this place you've made for me? This is so beautiful. He said, I will stay here forever. And I will take your form. I'll take your complexion and your mood and I will stay here forever. And then his flute turned into the mridanga. So the mridanga is actually the incarnation in Navadvip Leela of Krishna's flute. Krishna's flute became the mridanga, Shama Sundara became Gaura Sundara, and then he stayed there in Navadvip. And he took on the mood of Radharani, of Audarya, or munificence, of just giving love of God to everyone. So when you go before Gaunitai, this is what is going on. Actually, you're in Navadvip. You're actually in Mayapur. But most of the time we can't even stay awake. We're just so covered by the mode of ignorance, the lower modes of nature. We come before the deities. Half the time we don't even see the deities. Half the time we're thinking of the Charanamrita.
Let me just take Darshan quickly, and then I'll take Charanamrita, and that's what I really came here for, and then I'll... I've seen devotees coming off of their obeisances and not even look at the deities. I've seen devotees walk in, offer obeisances, took Charanamrita and just walked out. Didn't even look at the deities. We should not look at the deities like that. Actually, when I went to Jagannath Puri for the first time with Mother Jagatarini, she took us to Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath is one of the most important deities in our Sampradaya. Who is Tota Gopinath? Gadadhar Pandit's deity in Mayapur. Actually, there's a place called Chakat Parvat, which is right next to the Tota Gopinath Mandir. It's a sand dune, and Mahaprabhu saw that sand dune as none different from Govardhan Hill. So one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they were sitting on top of that sand dune. And Mahaprabhu said, I want to give you something. And he put his hands in the sand and he pulled out Gopinath, the deity of Gopinath, who was standing up, you know, in the tree. Now he's sitting down, but he's standing up. Huge deity, like big 6-foot-tall deity. Then he put his hands in and he pulled out Srimati Radharani. And then he put his hands in and pulled out Lalita. Lalita and Radharani are also black. Black marble. Normally you see Radharani is white marble. Radha and Lalita, if you go to Tota Gopinath, they're also dark, black. Because they're feeling so much separation for Krishna, they take on a blackish form. Sometimes when the devotees are feeling separation from Krishna, they take on a blackish form. So Radha and Lalita have blackish form also. So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this deity to Gadadhar Pandit, and he said, I want you to worship this deity. Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gadadhar Pandit worshipped those deities for many years. Now when you go and see those deities, they're extremely powerful. Actually, this is the deity that Mahaprabhu left. When he left this world, he entered into this deity. Yeah, it's said that simultaneously he was in the temple of Jagannath, and simultaneously he was in the temple of Gopinath, and he simultaneously entered into these deities when he left this world, into Tota Gopinath. You know, so the deity is extremely powerful, extremely important. So when first time I went there, Mother Jagatarini, she told us, she said, you just sit and you just take darshan of the deity. Because not quite often, we just have darshan for a minute or two. Even with Radha Vallabha, we just come, we just look at them for 1 or 2 minutes. We think, oh, they're dressed nicely today. And then we leave, like that. But Mother Jagatarini said, you have to take darshan for a long time. And she said, this deity of Gopinath, Tota Gopinath, he is so powerful that when you go to the deity gives you amrita or nectar. And whenever you go before the deities give you amrita or nectar. And she explained to us, when you go before the deity, you have to take a pot. Because you have to catch the amrita or the nectar, which is coming from the deity. So when you go before the deity, you have to hold a pot. You have to bring a pot. So whenever you come before any of the deities, you have to hold a pot. In your mind, you hold the pot. And you say, give me your nectar. But, she said that Tota Gopinath is so powerful and so merciful. When you go to them, they don't just give you the nectar, they give you the pot as well. They give everything to you. There's so much reciprocation. I actually took my mother to this deity in 2001, and Jackie, who is my sister-in-law, she's married to my brother Christian, Jackie, Bhakti and Jackie, so they both came. I took them to Tota Gopinath. They walked into the temple and took darshan, and within a minute or two they had to both walk out of the temple. They said, I walked in, all taking darshan, and then they walked out. So I went out and I said, what's going on? And they said, we're going to faint. I took them to many temples in Mayapur, Vrindavan and Puri. But they said, when they saw Tota Gopinath, they both had to physically walk out of the temple. They said, we're going to faint. This deity is so... And they weren't extremely, you know, Krishna conscious. But the deity is so powerful that even they had like an amazing experience with this deity. So when you go before the deity, then you should darshan the deity for a long time. You have to make this a regular part of your sadhana. regularly you should come before Gornitai, Radha Balabha, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, and just take darshan for a long time. Just chant your rounds with them, just meditate on them, just spend time with them. Just like sometimes it is said, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, he told us this secret at one of the japa retreats years ago in Varshana. He said, just like sometimes the husband and wife aren't getting along so well. So then they have to go away somewhere and spend some time together to reestablish the relationship or reinvigorate the relationship. So he said, similarly, with the holy name, sometimes you lose your taste for chanting. So then you have to go away and you just have to spend some time with the holy name, chanting once again, to get your taste back. And similarly with the deities, you have to spend time regularly. Sometimes you just have to come and just spend time with Radha Balabha. Just come and just spend time with them. I remember when I first joined the temple, on Friday nights we used to go out on Harinam, and then we'd come back, and then quite often we'd come in here at 9 o'clock and just sit here. Yeah, and just spend the 9 o'clock adi with Radha Balabha. And back then they used to play, Prabhupada would be chanting, Jai Radhe, Jai O Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. You know, Prabhupada chants that, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. So we would come and we would just sit with the deities before we take rest. And so transcendental. So you have to do this from time to time. You have to reestablish a relationship, you know, with the deities. So, Mayapur is, or Dari Dharam, and then Vrindavan is Madhurya Dharam. Madhu means honey. Nothing is sweeter than honey. Honey is the most nectarian substance. It actually says it is a heavenly substance. There's a pastime where the bees are in Swaga, and when the demigods came down, the bees came with the demigods and they got onto earth. And now we have bees on earth and now we have honey on earth. But actually, honey, madhu, is actually a heavenly substance. It's actually a medicine. We treat it like a food, but it's actually a medicine. Honey is actually very powerful. It has strong medicinal. Even they say you put honey on wounds, it can heal the wounds. And you take honey internally, it has great beneficial effect. Although they say in Ayurveda you should never cook honey. If you cook honey, it turns toxic. It turns into poison like that. So the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are madhurya. Madhurya means like honey, very sweet. So in order to get the sweetness which is there in Vrindavan, first you have to become qualified. That's why before we take darshan of Radha Balabha, we first go to Gaur Nitai. And Prabhupada says before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you have to first chant the Panchatattva Maha mantra. Prabhupada said you have to chant Panchatattva mantra for a period of time before you begin to chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. Because when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or when worshipping Radha Krishna, offences are considered. But when we worship Gaur Nitai and chant the Panchatattva mantra, they overlook the offences. Not that offences aren't considered. You can't think, well, I can just commit offences and then no problem, I'll just chant Panchatattva mantra and I'll just worship Gaur Nitai and I'll be okay. No. You have to be as careful with them as you are with Radha Krishna. But Radha Krishna, they consider the offences. Whereas Gaur Nitai, they don't consider. So they're more merciful. So it says that in order to get the madhurya or the sweetness of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, you have to approach Gaur Nitai in Navadvip. That is the system. And then Navadvip will turn into Vrindavan. You will see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you worship Gaur Nitai in Navadvip, in a few days, he says, you will see Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And then you go to Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, and they are worshipped in which mood? Odaya, Madhurya, and then? Aishwarya. Aishwarya means? Opulence. Aishwarya means, I am the Lord of the universe. Jaga, Narta. Prabhupada says, not Hindu, Narta. You go to Jagannath Puri these days, and you walk into the temple, and they say, which gotra are you? Actually, there is negotiation going on now. Jaipataka Swami has been negotiating for a number of years They're very close to letting the Western devotees into the temple of Jagannath. But there's still some there's some people in the higher management in the temple that still have some problem with the Westerners coming in, because they think we'll contaminate the place or something. I don't know what they're thinking like that. They actually said to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came to Puri, they said to Prabhupada, you can come into the temple, but your disciples cannot. And Prabhupada said, then I will not go in. Until they can go in, I will not go in. So they are negotiating, and maybe very soon. I've actually spoken to pundits who work in the temple. They have no problem with the Western people going in. But there's just certain people who are in charge who are still very, you could say, like contaminated in their consciousness. So they won't allow. But it seems like it may happen at some time in the near future. So Jagannath is Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. He's worshipped in great opulence. This is Dwarka. This is Krishna when he goes to Dwarka. Great opulence. 16,108 palaces. How big is each palace? 4 square miles. Each palace, right? One side of the palace, 2 miles long, and then 2 miles deep. 4 square miles, that's each palace. 16,108 palaces. No? How far is 2 miles? That's like 5 kilometers, right? I think. 5 kilometers, what's 5 kilometers from here? That's like from here to maybe the arts center, you know, the edge of the city, the Yarrow River. That's probably about 5 kilometers, probably. So that's Krishna's palace, one palace, from here to the Yarrow River. And he has 16,108 of those palaces in Dwarka. And Dwarka is only 96 square miles. Right, 96 square miles, and he fits them all in there. Achincha Shakti. Achincha means inconceivable. That's why when you're dealing with Krishna, you get to a point, you just say... Whatever you are, you are. You just say, whatever you are, that's it. Don't even try to get your head around him. Even he can't get his head around himself. It describes in the Krishna book, in the prayers of the personified Vedas, one of the final chapters in the Krishna book, it says that when Krishna realizes all of his Shakti, all of his potency, he realizes it all, and then he realizes at the next moment, there's more. I'm more powerful than what I thought. So then he realizes that in the next moment, then he realizes, no, I'm more powerful. So then he realizes that, and then and this is going on eternally. Just. So Prabhupada says it's not right to say that God does not understand himself, because you can't say God cannot do something. As soon as you say God cannot do, then it's not God. So Prabhupada says you can't say he does not know, but even he, every time he realizes himself, then the next moment he realizes, wait a minute, I'm more powerful than that. So even he is constantly. So for us, we just worship him. We just say, whatever you are, I don't care. You know, you are everything. Aham sarvasya prabhu mataha sarvam prabhavati. Krishna says, aham sarvasya. Sarvasya means, everything. Prabhu, I am the source of everything. He is unlimited in power. So we should just worship him. Should just get over our mind and just worship him. Because he is the source of everything. Like that. So this is Dwarka. This is Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. So why do they look like this? Why does Jagannath look like this? Why does Balaram look like this? Why does Subhadra look like this? Because one time they were at Kurukshetra, and the bridge buses and the Dwarka buses had not seen each other for a long time. Krishna went to Dwarka, away from Vrindavan, and he said he would come back soon, and he did not come back. So then, they had not met for a long time. So Mother Rohini, she was telling the Dwarka buses, because when they saw that, many of them hadn't met the bridge buses. They knew that Krishna spent the first 10 years of his pastimes with the bridge buses, but they never met them. So when they met them and they saw how much affection Krishna has for them and how much affection they have for Krishna, they were amazed. So then they asked Rohini, because Rohini was in both pastimes. She was there in Vrindavan, then she came to Dwarka with Krishna and Balaram. So she said to, they said to Rohini, what was it like in Vrindavan? Tell us all about Vrindavan. So she said, okay. So she went into the pandal, into the big tent at Kurukshetra, because everyone was living in tents, because they went there for an eclipse. So she went into the big tent, and she said to Subhadra, Krishna's sister, stay at the door, don't let Krishna or Balaram come in. Because if they hear how much the Brijbasis are feeling separation from them, it will be too much for them to bear. So then Subhadra was at the door, and she was listening to Rohini speak to the Dwarka Basis about Vrindavan, and then she became stunned in ecstasy. And then when you become stunned, just like if you hear someone talking about you in the next room, you go like that, right? And then it's like your limbs retract like that. So Subhadra went like that, and then she looked like Subhadra. So then Balaram came, and Balaram saw Subhadra, and he thought, what's going on? So then he began to listen, and then when he was listening, then he heard about what was happening in Vrindavan, and then Balaram went. And then Krishna came, and he saw the two of them, and he thought, what is going on? So then he began to listen about Vrindavan, how much they were missing him, how much separation everyone was feeling, and then he went. And then Narada came at that time, and Narada saw Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. So later on, when King Indrajumna, when he had the deities carved, and Vishwakarma left, and he wouldn't come back and finish carving the deities, and he was left with forms like this, then Narada came at that time and said, no, these are bona fide forms. This is Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, feeling separation. It's Krishna feeling separation from Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya is feeling separation from Vrindavan. So ultimately, everything is Vrindavan. So Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra were worshipping them in great opulence, feeling separation from, it is Krishna and Dwarka or Kurukshetra, feeling separation from Vrindavan, and this is what Mahaprabhu is also teaching us. So our whole philosophy is to learn to feel separation from Krishna in Vrindavan, if we can stay awake. That is the great challenge in Kali Yuga, to stay awake. Most of us are so ignorant. We chant our japa, hardly stay awake. Even we're in the kirtan. I was watching the kirtan today, some of the devotees were like, yeah. I was saying, what's going on? How are we going to go back to Godhead? What do you think happens in the spiritual world? You know, imagine in the rasa dance, Krishna and all the gopis are dancing and so much, and there's a crew on the side who are kind of like, you know. So you go back to the spiritual world and Krishna says, oh, you're one of those devotees, special devotees. Okay, you can go with that group. You know, and they all go like, yeah, it's not what happens in the spiritual world. Can you imagine being in Goloka Vrindavan, in Navadvip, right? In Lord Chaitanya, in Lord Nityananda's pastimes, in the nocturnal kirtans of Srivas Thakur, Srivas Sangam, right? What did Lord Chaitanya say when he came to earth, when he brought Mayapur to earth, and there was someone in the kirtan who wasn't qualified to be there? What did he say? I'm not feeling ecstasy. What is this? Something's wrong tonight. I'm dancing, I'm chanting, but I'm not feeling ecstasy. Srivas, is there someone here who should not be here? Srivas said, actually, there's a brahmachari. So they lifted up the basket, he was under the basket. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is he doing here? And Srivas said, no, he's very austere. He only eats fruit and drinks milk. Lord Chaitanya said, well, if it only takes drinking milk and eating fruit to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, fine, but that's not how you go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Tell him to go out. So he left, and then when he left, he realized how unfortunate he was, that he was actually in the pastimes of the Lord, but his mood was not correct. He didn't have the right amount of devotion. So then his heart changed. And then Lord Chaitanya said, bring him back in. Right? And then he came back and he re-entered the pastimes. So you have to leave it on the field. When you go into the kirtan, you have to give 100%. Right? When you go to Bhagavatam class, you have to give 100%. Now, when you worship the deities, you have to give 100%. When you distribute books, you have to give 100%. When you do any service for Krishna, you give 100%. When you wash the pots, you give 100%. Srila Prabhupada said there shouldn't be any black on the bottom of the pots. So that means you have to give 100%. It means you have to clean them further. This is the system. The system is we have to give everything. That will take us back to Krishna. Like that. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. How do they what?
How do they deal with separation? How do they live in this world with separation from Krishna?
I don't understand that.
How do they deal with the emotion of separation from Krishna? Pure devotees in this material world.
You just read the pastimes of Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. And you understand how a pure devotee deals with separation from Krishna.
But it's an internal.
Obviously it's internal. You just read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll see how a pure devotee deals with separation from Krishna. Just like Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur or somewhere, I can't remember, one of the cities, he was there, and he was in the morning, and he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava, and he just became stunned. And tears just began to come down his, glide down his, and Prabhupada was just stunned. And all the devotees just sat there for 3 or 4 minutes, and then Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. And he said, chant Hare Krishna. And he got up and he just went to his room. Happened in Mayapur as well. So it's internal. Burajan Prabhu told me a long time ago, actually. He said, your deep realizations in Krishna consciousness, he said, don't make them public. The acharyas say, just like if you bring a flame outside, a candle, it will blow out. But you keep it inside in a dark place, it will go very bright. So your deep realizations about Krishna, you don't bring them publicly. Prabhupada would not do those things. Just like sometimes people would ask Prabhupada, do you know Krishna? And then Prabhupada said one time, he said, even if I say yes, how will you know? People would say, Prabhupada, do you know Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Prabhupada said, if I say yes, how do you know? Like that, because it's an internal thing. But we know Prabhupada was seeing Krishna, because actually he said on other occasions, like before he left this world, devotees said, Prabhupada, we want you to stay with us, don't leave. Prabhupada said, I will ask Krishna. And then he closed his eyes in 3 or 4 minutes, and then he came back, and he said, Krishna has left the decision to me. I can come or go. It's up to Krishna, said it is up to me. So it was obvious that he was with Krishna, but he would not externally show that. He was with Krishna. So that's how you see how pure devotees deal with separation from Krishna in this world. It's an internal, very deep internal state. But was Prabhupada a pure devotee? No. Was Prabhupada with Krishna? Definitely he was. Who else could do what he did? Well, that's all. Does that answer your question? Do you want to add anything to it? Any other question?
Who is more merciful? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani and Jagannath Krishna. So who is more merciful between the two?
Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. Out of all the incarnations, he is the most merciful. And who is Nityananda's representative? The spiritual master. One time, there was one devotee. This is when Prabhupada was on the planet, and he was being initiated by Prabhupada. It was when Prabhupada was in India, and he was being a nonsense. He was collecting funds and he was keeping it for himself, for the life members. He was doing a lot of. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj kept saying to Prabhupada, just get rid of this guy. So they kept kicking him out of the temple. And then Prabhupada kept letting him come back, like back in, giving him another chance and another chance and another chance. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada, he said, is there a time when we ever just give up on someone? And Prabhupada said, there is no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. There is no limit. But then after a little bit of time, Prabhupada kicked him out of the temple. Because Prabhupada wasn't sentimental either. He was doing a lot of nonsense. Like he was keeping money. People give donations, he would keep it, and all sorts of things. So Prabhupada just, Prabhupada gave him so much opportunity, but then Prabhupada said okay. But Prabhupada said there is no limit to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda will always, if we're in the right mood, Lord Nityananda will always take us back. The one thing that we cannot do is commit offences. Just like there was another disciple of Prabhupada, and he said to Prabhupada, because he was associating with people outside of ISKCON, and then they contaminated his consciousness. And then he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, give me your blessings that I can find a real guru. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'll bless you that you will get a real guru after 60,000 births. That's a heavy curse. And that devotee is still practicing Krishna consciousness. He lives in America. He's actually a scholar, but he got that curse. Yeah, you don't want to get a curse like that. Not from someone like that. You don't want to get a curse like that. It's like, you know, heavy like that. Any other questions, comments?
The thing is, I worship in the mode of Lakshmi Narayan. I mean, yeah, just in a temple in this room, I worship in the mode of Lakshmi Narayan.
Radha Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah, Prabhupada even said that.
Gaunatai?
No, not Gaunatai, because how is Gaunatai Lakshmi?
No, but in a sense that it's worship in the mode of.
Or in reverence.
Yeah.
Or in reverence.
And opulence as well?
Yeah.
Because
like
Gaunatai is normally not dressed.
No,
I mean,
I understand what you're saying. Prabhupada said that when we worship Radha Krishna on our level, right, then, because we're not worshipping on the platform of Rag, but we're worshipping on the platform of Vaidhi or Sadhana, then he says that Lakshmi and Narayana are accepting the worship at this point in time, because our mood is still awe and reverence. Like Radha Krishna are not worshipped with awe and reverence. In Goloka Vrindavan, there is not awe and reverence. But in our worship, there is awe and reverence. That has to be there. And then gradually, that will transform gradually into Rag. There's something like, there's a kind of a mixture in between the two. But when we worship Radha Krishna, we don't think of Lakshmi Narayan. We think of Radha and Krishna. So it's like there's a mixture. Something
externally, it's one, but internally, be another one if
you
do
that. Like that. Yeah. Externally, you do everything very properly and you worship with great opulence, but internally, you gradually develop a mood of rag or spontaneous attachment, and you meditate on Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's the mood. But in the spiritual world, in Goloka, everything's very opulent. Goloka Vrindavan is very opulent. It's not that Vaikuntha is only opulent. Goloka is more opulent than Vaikuntha. I mean, they worship Krishna very opulently. But it's natural because it's in Vrindavan, it's in a forest. So it's very natural like that. It's not otherwise. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you worship Radha Krishna your whole life, but you can't break the mood of awe and reverence, then there is a Vaikuntha planet where Radha and Krishna are there, not Lakshmi Narayan, but Radha Krishna. But there are Lakshmi Narayan. It's not Radha and Krishna, the original Radha Krishna. It's look like Radha and Krishna, but like a form of Lakshmi Narayan, and then you worship them in awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. So if you can't break that mood of awe and reverence, then you can go to Vaikuntha and you can worship them eternally in that mood. It's in the forest and everything, but it's a different mood. Radha and Krishna, to worship them in Vrindavan, that's a different mood. Does that answer your question? Okay. And Gaunatai, yeah, we worship with awe and reverence. We worship properly like that. Prabhuji? Don't put your feet out in front of the deities. Yeah, that's good. So, when you worship Gaunatai, you worship in awe and reverence, like that, in that mood. It means with great opulence and like that. When Mahaprabhu is in Navadvip, then he's worshipped like that. Okay. Any other question or comment? She's dancing.
So this is giving blessings. What's the difference?
The difference is that is the mood of blessing. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, when we see Radharani going like that, he said everything is going to be all right. If Radharani is going like that, then everything is all right. And when she's going like that, she's dancing with Krishna. So you see Radha Shyama Sundara in Vrindavan, she's dancing. It's like a more spontaneous mood. Generally, she's calm like that. I mean, Prabhupada says when she's like that, everything's going to be alright. So for us, that's good. If we worship like that, then one day she'll go. In your mind, you can meditate on so many things in your mind, but we need her doing this at the moment. You know, if she's not going like that, then we could have a lot of problems. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he installed Radha, Nila Madhava in Houston, when he got, because Nila Madhava was a big deity of Krishna, a huge deity of Krishna, and he was getting Radharani carved in Jayapur. But Radharani was, he asked the deity wallet to carve her like this, like that. And then he had a dream, and then in the dream, Radharani said, I want to be like this. So then he woke up and rang Jayapur and said to the deity wallet, he said, no, change it to this. And then he says that if you look at the deity closely, you can see where the carving has changed. Like if you go into the altar and you actually see, you can see the carving has changed because they had to change it from this to like that. But Prabhupada said this means that everything's going to be all right. So we want Radharani to be doing this for us. Like that. When you get advanced, then you can see otherwise. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.